Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
My mom kept repeating that to me. She would often find me rummaging through my little brother's toys, and she would scold me for it. Mom was a very girly girl. She wore dresses in pastel and floral designs. I was closest with my dad. He was a car enthusiast. He often snuck me out of the house to take me on a drive along the coast where we lived. And some weekends, he'd tell my mom that he's taking me to the salon. But really, we would go to car shows and the racetrack. I've always enjoyed going on drives. I love going super fast. One day, Mom called us while we were at the racetrack. And she was so angry. I could hear her voice through the crowd's noise, and she wasn't even on speaker. What are you doing with my daughter at a stupid car race? Come home this instant! She yelled at him for about an hour when we got home, and then she turned to me. How dare you lie to me? You told me your dad was taking you to ballet. Come to find out, you haven't attended ballet in 4 months. But I don't want to do ballet. It's what little girls do, Yana. Girls are supposed to play with dolls and wear pink and play dress up and do ballet, not look at cars. Those are boy things. But it's what I want to do. Mom turned on Dad. See what you're doing? You're confusing her. She's not supposed to like these things. Now when she grows up, what kind of guy would be attracted to a girl who likes cars and racing? I knew Dad wanted to be on my side. He always was. But when Mom got mad, she never let him speak. I guess that's why they ended up separating. I was still asleep when he left. She took my brother with her. I guess she didn't want a daughter who didn't like ballet and doing girl things with her. So she left me with Dad. I woke up that day and saw Dad crying out on the porch. I hugged him and told him that everything was gonna be okay. Dad and I eventually got to do what we wanted without having to sneak around. I filled my room with all the model cars I ever wanted. He took me to car shows and we went on trips to Italy and Malaysia and Dubai to watch the Grand Prix. He taught me to drive when I was old enough, and I drove a sick, tricked-out, bright yellow Chevy Camaro, complete with black racing stripes and a dope spoiler. All the boys at school loved it. They would surround me as soon as I drove into school. They nicknamed my car the Bumblebee, and I guess it kinda stuck. The girls didn't love me, though, especially the popular ones. They turned up their noses at me every time they saw me and told me I was weird for being too much into cars. Bumblebee? Is she actually trying to be Queen Bee at this school? Not with that fashion sense. Those baggy shirts and ripped jeans. She definitely screams Worker Bee to me. What kind of name is Yana, even? You're so funny. That's why you'll always be the queen. But the girls didn't stop at hurling badly made puns and cheesy comebacks at me. Unfortunately for me, one of those guys who were huge fans of my car was Josh Wheeler. And Josh was Paris's on-again-off-again boyfriend. Josh was a very nice guy. He always complimented me and my car. He kept asking me to take him for a ride, and although I wanted to say no, eventually his charm worked, and I did. We drove along the coast for about an hour, and then we stopped at a lookout along the cliffs as the sun was about to set. The view was immaculate. We could see the ocean and the town as it began to light up for the night. It was very romantic. Josh looked at me with googly eyes, and I was so afraid that he'd try to kiss me. I love the view. I couldn't help myself. I laughed out loud at how cheesy it was. But then there was a sudden screeching of wheels. We looked behind us and saw Paris, Kylie, and Georgie in the bright pink Mini Cooper Paris always drove. Joshua Andrew Wheeler, what do you think you're doing?
Oh, we were just going for a drive.
Get back home right this instant. We need to talk.
Actually, you don't get to order me around anymore. I'm sick of you nagging me every day. We're done.
He leaned in and kissed me. The sound that Paris made was almost inhuman, and it echoed through the pine forest behind us that it actually scared all the sleeping birds, and they flew away just as Paris revved up her car and sped out of there in humiliation. Josh looked at me, embarrassed, too.
I'm sorry if I kissed you so suddenly and without asking. It was in the moment, and I just really, really was looking for a way to break up with her.
I blushed. I didn't mind. I mean, the sunset's perfect. I guess we could have a redo.
He kissed me again, and that time, I definitely saw the fireworks and felt the spark.
Josh and I dated all through high school, and Paris and her girls were dethroned. Now, all the girls at our school wanted to be like me. I didn't go to university like Josh did, so for a while, we had to be in a long-distance relationship. I have to admit, it was tough. I never would have thought I'd be the jealous type, but I thought of my boyfriend every moment of every day, so much so that sometimes I found it hard to focus on my training. Dad introduced me to a friend of his, and he introduced me to the world of racing. Uncle Tommy was kind of my mentor. Because of him, I got to talk to world champs, and they drove me in their cars while teaching me everything there was to know about racing. I knew what I wanted to be even back then, and so I followed my dream. And I will forever be grateful that I was lucky enough to have a dad who was proud of his girls' dreams and goals. I started small, city events and regional races. I would even go out late at night to go drag racing. And not to toot my own horn, but I always managed to win and bring home a handsome bit of cash. My first real race was at Talladega, and I was so excited. But mostly, I was really nervous. It was a huge event, and there were thousands of people watching. Josh flew down to watch and support me. And in my heart, I just felt I didn't want to disappoint him and my dad. The other competitors laughed at me. They made fun of me being a girl.
A girl? Seriously? They'll let anyone join nowadays. Bet you she can't even parallel park.
Yeah, go get your nails done or something.
The track's no place for a girl, miss. You should definitely quit while you're ahead.
I wanted so badly to prove them wrong, but I was so nervous, I didn't even hear that the race had begun. And when I tried to accelerate, my engine stalled. I finished 30th. I was so humiliated and disappointed, I cried into Josh's arms the whole night.
He stroked my hair and told me everything will be okay. But I didn't believe him. My racing dreams were crushed.
Hey, look at me. You'll be fine. You'll try again. Was there ever a world champ who never failed?
I sniffed and looked up at him. I guess not.
There you go. Champs aren't champs because they keep winning. They're champs because they kept trying, even after they lost.
I couldn't have loved Josh more at that moment. I took his advice and tried again, over and over, until one day I finally got the chance to be on the world stage again. My sponsors entered me into the Grand Prix. Formula One was an entirely different beast. I spent months training and getting used to my new car. But then, when I kept beating my personal records on that car, I realized I had found what I was truly great at. I painted that car yellow and had them put two racing stripes. It was my chance to relaunch my career, and I wasn't going to do it without paying tribute to my old car. I was announced only as my nickname, the Bumblebee. I kept my helmet on at all times and didn't speak to reporters. And it worked. 5 minutes before the race started, I was the only thing everyone was talking about. Everyone speculated about who I was. The race began and I pulled ahead of the pack. The commentator was screaming with excitement into the microphone. The Bumblebee has taken the early lead. And look at that! Our mystery racer is zooming through this track like he's done it 100 times! For a rookie in this race, the Bumblebee is definitely generating a buzz among the crowd. I was almost scared that one of them was about to pass me, but I thought of how my life had been, about my mom leaving me and telling me to be more like a girl. I thought of my dad, who supported me. And Josh, I thought of the countless guys who underestimated me. And I put my foot down, and within seconds, I saw that checkered pattern fly by me like a blur. The crowd erupted with applause and thunderous cheer as I got out of the car. People were running from the stands. My dad and Josh collided with me in a tight embrace. And the host led me to the podium. Confetti rained down on me as the huge trophy was brought out. I took my helmet off, shook my long hair out, and smiled at the camera. The crowd fell silent suddenly, and a gasp was heard from the thousands of spectators. Even the guy who was holding the trophy was in shock. The second placer turned to me, and I saw a familiar face. Yana? Danny? Oh, Danny! I ran to my brother and hugged him. One of the participants in the crowd shouted, "But she's a girl!" I turned to him and smiled. "Yeah, and a girl just beat you at your own game." The cheers were so loud, it was deafening. They handed me my trophy, put medals around my neck, and they bore me on their shoulders. I felt so vindicated. It was all worth it. Especially when Josh went down on his knees and handed me a ring and proposed in front of the whole world. I said yes, and if we ever have a daughter, I'll never get in the way of her dreams, no matter what they are.
Facing the alien chemical equation on the board, I was sweating profusely when suddenly Alice, the smartest nerd in the class, threw a piece of paper at me. Copy it, Queenie. Thinking that she was helping me, I gleefully wrote down her answer, but strangely, the whole class burst into laughter. Alice sneered at me. Dumbass. Be quiet, class. Queenie, F-, go back to your seat. When I was passing Alice, I angrily grunted, "You're ugly inside out." She immediately tripped me and made me fall face first. Due to that, we got into a fight right in our classroom. Hi, I'm Queenie, 16 years old. I'm a famous girl with over 600,000 Instagram followers. Most of the boys in my school were obsessed with me. My family was also one of the wealthiest in Orlando. You could say that I had it all, but there was only one thing that I lacked of. Ryan. Because of my poor academic skills, my dad threatened that if I didn't improve, he would send me to my grandma's stables in the suburbs of Texas, where the Wi-Fi was weak and I would have to clean up horse poop all the time. Ew. I would never let that happen. I quickly started focusing on my weakest subject, chemistry. I spent a lot of money to hire Fariel, the smartest guy in the chemistry club, to tutor me at my house. But even if Fariel offered to teach me for free with my two-digit IQ score, it would still be impossible. Stop, I can't take it anymore. Come on, Queenie, tough it out. Why do I have to study so many things? I'm not going to compete in the Olympics like you. Suddenly, Fariel exclaimed he had thought of a way that would help me pass. Every student whose names were on the chemistry Olympiad list would be accepted from the school's chemistry class, which meant one thing. You must join our club. The nerdy club was led by Alice. No way! So you choose to clean the stables, right? Ugh, I really needed to pass chemistry, and I also hated cleaning the stables. So the next day, I determinedly walked into his club room. My presence shocked every member, especially Alice. I came here to apply for the club. She burst out laughing immediately and threw me a pen. Take this.
Hmm?
For what? To draw more wrinkles on your brain. Even though I was pissed off, to raise my chance of getting in the club, I boldly told her that the other members would definitely welcome me even if she wouldn't. She snickered and confidently let them vote. Little did she know, 80% of the club members were male and two-thirds of them followed me on Instagram. So, am I eligible to join the club now? I walked past Alice, nudged her shoulder, and stuck out my tongue teasingly. However, Caitlin, the captain of the cheerleading club, suddenly appeared at the door. With Queenie, this club is going down. Her words made my relationship with Alice even more strained. I became a thorn in her eyes, and she always looked for a reason to kick me out of the club. Once, I was assigned to bring my teacher the white rats from the school's lab. When I entered the lab and picked up the box, suddenly the lid of the box came loose. The rats quickly ran out and bumped into the chemical bottles, causing them to shatter all over the ground. Caught ya. Unexpectedly, Alice was filming the whole thing. Be ready to say bye-bye to my club. It must have been her trap. I quickly got into a fight with her when suddenly Caitlin appeared with Mrs. Clear, the school superintendent. You see, Alice and Queenie have ruined this lab. Miss Claire furiously decided to punish us by suspending all the activities of the chemistry club and made us stay behind to clean up the lab. With that, she left. Alice shouted at Caitlin, "It was you who showed me how to kick Queenie out of the club. Why did you turn your back on me? All I wanted is that club room of yours. Now that you guys are suspended, move out soon, okay? The cheer team has been wanting a space for entertainment." She slammed the door and laughed provocatively. What a witch! When we were cleaning the lab, Alice just sat in a corner and cried loudly. Honestly, she deserved it. I was the innocent one here. Why did they drag me into this mess? Hey, get up and start cleaning! If I can't participate in the Olympics, I'll lose my scholarship. No! I just remembered that if I couldn't join her club, I would have to study like a normie. Then if I failed my chemistry class one more time, I would have to clean the stables. Damn it. It's not over. We'll take the club back. Really? How? It was easy. We had to make the school realize that the cheerleaders were the real troublemakers here. To do that, we gotta be a team and stop standing in each other's way. Got it? Deal. Our opportunity soon came when the cheer team held a performance at the school Christmas festival. That day, many of the school's important partners arrived. Caitlin took the stage and began dancing while our club gathered backstage and was ready to take our revenge. I took out a remote control and clicked the button. Suddenly, from Caitlin's pocket, a fake mouse jumped out. The cheerleaders and she all ran away screaming in panic. Caitlin was so scared that she kicked the mouse at the principal's guest, causing him to faint. The festival was chaotic and the principal was beyond furious.
Stop this madness. All the cheer team go back inside.
We were giggling as Caitlin ran inside and shouted, "You will pay for this!" After the cheerleaders were punished and got their entertainment room confiscated, that room was rightfully returned to us. Our club chemistry was also officially restored, and we were eligible to participate in the Olympics again. The members studied day and night for that competition, and of course, any hopeless idiot like me could only cheer for them. When the Olympics finally arrived, everyone was present, but no one could find Alice anywhere. We tried calling her to no avail. Suddenly, Caitlin appeared. Give it up, losers. Turns out that evil witch and her minions had blocked Alice's way and locked her inside a toilet. Now you don't have a captain to participate anymore. I'll be the captain. Haha, an idiot like you wants to be the captain of the Olympic team? Don't make me laugh. Without letting her finish her sentence, Fariel pushed her aside and boldly walked with me and the team on stage. We must win this, and no one shall stand in our way. My teammates did an excellent job on their parts, and all the teams were at a tie. The captain's part would be the deciding one. Since I was replacing Alice, I was forced to compete in her place. On the table, they put a lot of test tubes containing gases and announced the question.
Within 3 seconds, find the tube that contains the chemical gas that will explode when it comes in contact with oxygen.
Everyone held their breath waiting for my answer. Thank God I suddenly remembered that damn equation that gave me a F-. I quickly grabbed the tube containing hydrogen and pressed the timer a few seconds ahead of my opponent. Immediately, the referee announced that our team had won. We all cheered in union. Fariel and I hugged each other in bliss, then he suddenly kissed my cheek. Although late, Alice still arrived to see the final result. I ran to her and gave the trophy to Alice because we were such a great team.
As I was scrambling with a heavy tray of drinks, a hurried guest suddenly bumped into me, causing my entire tray to drop right on the ground. Immediately, the hostess shouted,
Helen, you're fired!
I kept apologizing to her, saying that my mom was in the hospital, so I really needed this job, but she still kicked me out mercilessly. Feeling guilty, the guest earlier said,
I'm so sorry, young lady. If you want, you can come to my place. I'll arrange a new job for you.
After that, he gave me a note with his home address and left. Hi, I'm Helen. I'm 16 years old. When I was a child, my dad left me while my sick mom was hospitalized all the time. Every day, I had to study and work until late at night to be able to cover the huge amount of hospital bills. After receiving the home address, I went straight there. It was a gorgeous mansion. A guest from yesterday appeared and it turned out it was James Smith, a wealthy tycoon. When James and I were talking, suddenly a drunk girl came in. James grumbled.
Jenny, partying again? You should have been ashamed of your poor test scores for the Fairmont Academy entrance exam.
Fairmont Academy? I just got a scholarship for it recently. An idea popped up in my mind. Sir, if you want to improve your daughter's grades, I can also tutor her. With that said, I showed him my Fairmont scholarship and James promptly agreed to my offer. But Jenny was a different story. She rolled her eyes and bared her fangs. Listen, new face. 9 self-declared tutors have come here, and they've all been fired. Get ready to be the 10th. After that, she coldly left the room. James comforted me.
It's okay, Helen. If you can help her increase her grades, I'll definitely reward you.
I thanked him and promised to start tutoring Jenny. But it was difficult, just like what Jenny said. She kept coming up with weird tricks so she wouldn't have to learn. For example, she would hide her books, or pretend to be sick every time I started class. Once, as soon as I arrived, I saw Jenny dancing at the swimming pool. When I came to her, she angrily shouted, I'm not studying! Just leave! I turned off the music and firmly told her to come inside to start the lesson. Angrily, she rushed over and pushed me straight into the pool. It made my books and laptop wet. However, she just threw a bunch of money on me and sneakered. This is enough for you to buy 2 more laptops! Get the hell out of here! Furiously, I told all of that to her dad. Needless to say, James was furious and called Jenny into the room.
Jenny, as of tomorrow, you will transfer to Lockwood High in Canada.
What? That uptight and remote school?
Correct. If I can't teach you, Lockwood will.
Jenny burst into tears of resentment and left. As for me, James sent me my payment and promised to arrange a different job for me.
However, the money was still far from enough to pay for my mom's hospital bills. While I was not knowing what to do, suddenly my phone rang. It was Jenny. She asked me out to talk. Contrary to her usual stuck-up attitude, Jenny desperately begged me to go to Canada to study on her behalf. In return, she would pay for my mother's hospital bills. I was surprised, but also worried. But what if your dad knows about this? And what about the paperwork? I'm rich. I can take care of those minor stuff. Just say yes and someone will come and take you to Lockwood High. I decided to agree, but on one condition. She would have to replace me to study at Fairmont Academy. I couldn't just drop out like that, and she also agreed. Later that day, I said goodbye to my mom and began my journey to Canada. After a week of studying, I gradually got used to my new life. It was quite challenging indeed. One day, while walking in the hallway, I saw Kelly, a notorious classmate of mine who was cornering another girl.
Oh, a small country girl like you also comes here to study? You should have stayed at home and worked as a janitor like your mother! That's so mean! I must help that poor girl!
I quickly walked past them and shoved my Starbucks at Kelly.
What the hell is wrong with you, Jenny? Do you know how much this Chanel dress costs?
Oh, sorry, my hand slipped. She angrily raised her hand to slap me, but she was abruptly stopped by Alan, the class's hottest boy.
Come on, Kelly. You were bullying the other girl first.
Kelly was so frustrated that she left immediately. I wanted to comfort the other girl, but she had also run away. Only Alan and I remained. Somehow, we hit it off and became very close after that. One day, I came to class earlier than usual and saw Kelly doing something suspicious to the classroom door. With a bad premonition, I hid in a corner and overheard her whole plan.
Good.
Let's see who runs this school, Jenny. So when she wasn't paying attention, I swiftly entered the classroom through the back door. I was proudly crossing my arms and sneered at her angry face when suddenly, the teacher opened the door and walked in. In a flash, a basket of fake snakes fell straight on her head. Both Kelly and I panicked while the teacher screamed at the top of her lungs and fainted. I hurriedly shouted for the whole class to take her to the infirmary. As for Kelly, she was punished soon after. She had to clean the toilet for 2 months in a row. Haha, serves that witch right. One day, Lockwood High held an auction to raise funds for the Halloween festival. My role was to wear a beautiful white dress for the guests to bid on, while Alan was the host. Very quickly, the dress was bidded to 50. I was super excited to see who was the bidder, but to my horror, Kelly appeared. She walked onto the stage to the applause of everyone. Kelly stood in front of me and smirked. This is truly a work of art. But it'll be even more beautiful when... Before she finished her sentence, Kelly pulled out a paint gun and shot at me repeatedly. The beautiful white dress quickly turned into a disaster to the panic of the guests. With a stroke of genius, Alan quickly came to the rescue.
How utterly amazing and creative, isn't it? Can you see, ladies and gentlemen? Each streak of color makes the dress look like a Van Gogh painting.
The audience gasped and applauded loudly. They said the dress was like an abstract artwork and even pushed the price higher than the price Kelly had bid it. But before I could rejoice, I suddenly saw James in the audience.
Oh my god, why is he here?
I panicked and ran off the stage, but that witch Kelly tripped me. I stumbled and got entangled in the microphone wire and pulled the entire speaker system down. They fell on both Kelly and me and we slowly lost consciousness. As the sun rays hit my eyes, I slowly woke up. Luckily, the accident didn't cause too much damage to me. In the room, there was only an extremely angry man standing in silence. Great, I'm screwed. I explained the whole story to James. Fortunately, he understood and quickly resolved the paperwork to bring me home. On the way home, I turned to ask him what he would do with Jenny. He said in desperation,
I don't know, she's too spoiled.
Suddenly, I came up with a plan and quickly told James. With a wink to him, I called her.
Jenny, bad news! Your dad has found out about us switching places and had a heart attack! He was transferred to the ER! What? How could that be?
Just go to the hospital! When Jenny arrived, she burst into tears when she saw her father on the bed.
Since he was promoted, he was too busy with work and we've become so distant. We never even spoke to each other more than 3 sentences ever since.
Jenny hugged her father and cried until James winked at me. This play could come to an end now. He slowly sat up and patted Jenny's shoulder, who was now drenched in tears. She looked up, screaming in panic as if she had seen a ghost. I quickly covered Jenny's mouth so that James could explain.
My dearest, I'm sorry I wasn't there for you. I tried to make it up by giving you more money, more beautiful clothes, but apparently it wasn't enough. You were lonely, right?
In the end, there was their misunderstanding. Jenny stopped acting stubborn and snobbish, and the two of them spent more time together. After everything, funny as it is, Jenny and I started to become close. James was kind enough to adopt me and promised to help me pay for my school fees and my mom's hospital bills. One day, I was tutoring Jenny when suddenly the doorbell rang. I ran out to see who it was when, to my surprise, it was Alan. He hugged me tightly.
I finally found you, Helen. Will you be my girlfriend?
Saying that, Alan leaned forward. Just like that, we kissed passionately in the first breeze of fall. When I was skateboarding near the school gate, unfortunately, I crashed in a lion, my neighbor, and we fell on top of each other. He angrily grimaced at me.
Watch yourself, chaos breeder. Put a helmet on. It might help your hyperactive brain reduce the risk of injury by 65%.
Then he even demanded to confiscate my skateboard. I mischievously bent down to pull the rug under Lion's feet and delighted to see him fall painfully on his butt. Tone it down, nerd. Even though Lion kept yelling behind me, I just nonchalantly ran away. Hi, I'm Aretha, 16 years old. When I was young, my mom always wanted me to be girly and gentle. But unfortunately, being girly is not me. I'm always mischievous and enjoy energetic activities. Not only did it upset my mom, but it also annoyed Lion, the nerdy guy who lives next to us. He really hated me and kept calling me by the nickname Chaos Breeder. Over the years, Lion and I had always been at odds with each other. Although we were neighbors and even attended the same class, we could never be close. Once, my uncle gave me a vuvuzela, a gift from his trip to Brazil. I was very excited and brought it to class. While all my friends laughed at the sound of it and my jokes, Lion thought the exact opposite.
Be quiet, Aretha! I need to read a book!
Oh, sorry, knowledgeable gentleman, but this is break time. You should return to your nerd planet to continue reading. Then I blew the vuvuzela even louder to piss him off. Then he suddenly grabbed a glass of water nearby and poured it directly into my vuvuzela. I immediately choked violently.
Stupid face! You regret this!
We started throwing things at each other until the principal showed up and punished me for causing a commotion in the classroom. Seeing me being led away, Lion smirked triumphantly. Another time, when our class was allowed to visit a museum of nature, I was overwhelmed by the fossilized skeleton of a large dinosaur placed in the middle of the hall. When I was about to touch it, Lion suddenly slapped my hand hard.
You can't read, can you? Article 3, Section 4 of the museum's rules. It is strictly forbidden to touch this specimen.
Then he started giving me a long lecture on proper manners of the museum. I yawned in frustration and turned around to leave. Seeing that, he grabbed my shoulder.
You're so impolite. Don't walk away when others are talking.
I winced, squashed his hand away, and harshly pushed him back. But it seemed I had used too much strength. To my horror, Lion fell into the dinosaur skeleton and the skeleton fell on top of us. Not only was it painful, but also we were banned from the museum for years. Great. Every time, every goddamn time I got involved with that nerd, I got a chain of bad luck coming after me. So from then on, I tried even harder to avoid him. But Lion was so annoying. That Sunday morning, I was woken up by loud music from his house. That nerd was definitely responsible for it, since his parents were on a business trip yesterday. Immediately, I went to his house in my pajamas.
Stupid face! Turn that crappy music off before it becomes your last song!
After several knocks, no one answered me. Furiously, I was about to kick the door, when suddenly, a handsome guy with a face like Shawn Mendes and a towel wrapped around his waist came out. Unfortunately, he took the full impact of my powerful kick.
Ugh! What are you doing? I couldn't open the door because I was in the shower.
Embarrassed, I quickly apologized to him and ran straight home. Since then, I have been trying to snoop around Lion's house to see who that guy was. After that somewhat disastrous meeting, I couldn't stop thinking about his gorgeous body and an angel-like face. Damn, I think I've fallen in love. Then suddenly, a hand hit my shoulder.
Not only a chaos breeder, but now you're also a pervert who stalks other people's houses?
I quickly shook my hand and explained everything, but unexpectedly, he mocked me.
You like my cousin? Ew! Even The Conjuring is not as disturbing as this!
Turns out that heartthrob is Kai, Lion's cousin. He would live here until the end of high school.
Great! Excellent! Wonderful! So I have a chance to date him!
Kai will never like you.
Why?
Because he's not gay. You're like a boy and he's into feminine girls.
Although I was extremely bitter at his taunt, I realized I didn't know anything about Kai and Lion was the only one who was close to him.
Oh, Lion, my dear bestie, will you please put aside all our silly grudges and help me pursue Kai?
Nope.
Oh, come on, give me a prize. I'm ready to pay. He put on an obnoxious, contemplative face and finally said,
Fine, but on one condition. If this works, you must obey anything I say.
Although that was a horrible trade, for my demigod, I was willing to sacrifice everything.
So from that day on, Lion and I teamed up. He became my fashion guru and helped me dress up to match Kai's type. I started to practice putting on high heels and skirts and even got some education about boys. Gosh, how bothersome. But I needed to hold on for my demigod. One day, to help me approach Kai, Lion took me to the record store his cousin frequently visited. According to his calculation, Kai would come from the northwest at a speed of 2.4 miles per hour, and I would need to walk from the southeast at a speed about two-thirds of his.
Trust me, there's a 97% chance that you two will meet at Kai's favorite record section.
Jeez, what a total nerd!
Then we embarked on our plan. However, when I was trying to reach that record section, my cramped high heels caused me to trip. How embarrassing! Seeing that, Kai hugged his stomach and burst out laughing.
You again? Seems like every time we meet, troubles follow us, doesn't it?
Unexpectedly, that incident made me closer to Kai. He asked for my number, then asked me out.
I felt like I was on cloud nine.
After that, we grew closer each day. Once when we were hanging out, I mustered up the courage to ask him. Kai, please answer honestly. Is your type feminine girls?
Nah. I always feel like they're kind of spoiled and I'm not into that.
What? Did that stupid face Lion trick me? So he just wanted to make fun of me after all! Right after saying goodbye to Kai, I went straight to Lion. Furiously, I grabbed his collar.
Stupid face! You've been pulling pranks on me since the beginning, right? Why do you want to get between Kai and me?
Then he suddenly grabbed my hand and placed a kiss on my lips!
Actually, I've liked you for a long time. But since you're always teasing me, I couldn't find a chance to confess.
Don't you hate tomboys like me?
No, Aretha. I like everything about you. Even when you crashed into me on your skateboard, even when your clothes were boyish, and even when you laughed with a mouthful of food at me.
That doesn't change the fact that you lied to me!
I withdrew my hand and quickly left. From that day on, I tried to avoid Lion, both at home and at school. About 3 weeks later, Kai suddenly told me that Lion had just signed up as an exchange student and was about to move to Switzerland. Somehow, ever since that day, I kept thinking about Lion's kiss and what he said.
No, Aretha, you must forget about it.
I tried to reassure myself and held on to the thought that Lion was the bad guy. The day he moved out, even though I was on a date with Kai, I couldn't stop thinking about that nerd. While we were walking on the street, a girl skater almost bumped into us.
Oh, sorry, are you two okay?
Before she could finish, Kai violently grabbed her arm.
Dumbass, do you girls think you're cool when you skateboard? No, it's only for boys. Know your place.
Kai's words shocked me. I didn't expect him to be so sexist. Unlike Lion. Damn, maybe the one I had fallen for was actually Lion after all. But first, I gotta deal with this obnoxious human being. Let her go. You're hurting her, jerk. I pushed him down and quickly let the other girl away. After that, I borrowed her skateboard to chase after Lion. I didn't stop screaming and chasing his car until it stopped.
What's the matter, Aretha?
Stupid face. I've realized that. I like you too. Then Lion smiled. He gently hugged me and put a passionate kiss on my lips.
My brother rushed out from the dark alley and shouted in panic, "Ghost, run!" Then he tripped and fell. When some people came to check on him, I immediately put on a devil costume and skated fast towards them. The crowd got terrified and ran away screaming. Witnessing that scene, Dan and I looked at each other and burst out laughing. But right at that moment, our mom's scary face appeared right behind us, making us jump in surprise.
Mia, I told you no more filming TikTok.
But before I could finish, she quickly dragged both of us home. Hi, I'm Mia. I'm currently living with my mom and a little brother named Dan. As you can see, I'm a TikToker who owns a TikTok account that uploads funny pranks with nearly 1 million followers. Although to my mom, I was just a 15-year-old troublesome girl, but on TikTok, I was a star. Like always, I started my pranks on a busy street and hid the camera in a corner facing the sidewalk. Ooh, look, here's my prey. A man in a polite suit was walking over as Dan pretended like his hand was stuck in the bushes. Dan asked the man for help, and when he jerked his hand away, a giant snake was biting his arm. The man screamed and ran away so fast he dropped his shoe. Then another man got pranked and dropped his wig. One after another, their varied expressions helped my video quickly go viral. To boost my fame, I also did fan challenges. Once they dared me to prank my mom. The requests were so many that one day. I called mom and screamed that there was an emergency at home. Then I turned the camera to the door and waited. Bam! She pushed the door open and panically rushed in. Oh no, Dan! My brother was lying motionless on the floor while the house was in disarray, as if a thief had barged in. Mom knelt down and hugged Dan while screaming, "Help! Somebody help!" Then Dan started chuckling, which startled her. And when she saw me holding the camera, she rushed over and slapped me. It was the first time in my life that I was hit. I burst into tears and ran to my room. That evening, Mom knocked on my door and called me down to talk. I sat down at the table waiting for an apology, but to my surprise, there was none. After what just happened, I will not tolerate you anymore. All your pranks are negatively affecting others. You're too old-fashioned. Have you read the comments? Everyone found my videos amusing. She shook her head and firmly forbade me from filming TikTok ever again. How absurd! And unbelievably, she even took my phone away. But not stopping there, one day my school invited her as a speaker of the association to protect children against harmful online content. On the screen, she presented my TikTok account and told everyone, "Don't do stupid things like this." Everyone looked at me and laughed loudly. Jeez, I want to dig a hole for myself. That night, Mom and I had a big argument. Are you going to use TikTok to apply to university? What kind of university accepts a kid who can only fool others? That's stupid. Stop chasing temporary fame and sinking your future into the mud. When she left the room, I angrily went to the corner of the closet where my phone was hidden and saved the video I just recorded. I edited it to make her seem horrible and posted it on my account. Mom forbade me from filming TikTok. The next morning when I went to school, everyone was talking about that new video. I also opened my phone to check and OMG. In just one night, the video had reached top trending with more than 5 million views. In the comments section, many people criticized my mom. Is this what a mother should say to her child? Your mom sucks. She's more stupid than a kid. Oh no, that's not what I wanted. It spread like wildfire and I couldn't stop it even after I deleted the video. And to make it worse, Mom called and told me that Dan had gone missing. Great timing. When her car arrived, I got in with a blank head. Sitting in the car, she showed me a video of Dan just a few hours ago. The boy stood at the edge of the forest and announced that he would hide there for a while to prank his mother and sister. But he was only 8 years old, and it had been 4 hours since the video was uploaded. We reached the edge of the forest where my brother posted the video. My hands were shaking and I burst into tears. My mom took my hand and choked. That's why I want you to stop creating content like that. There might be people who imitate your careless pranks and get themselves and others in danger. Your father died from that. I looked at her in surprise. She never talked about his death. How did it happen? He was pranked and got a heart attack. Those who caused it disappeared without an apology. I felt so heavy-hearted, as if I was a sinner. I didn't know my mom had to endure such pain. That's why she got so angry when I became an internet prankster and was even famous for it. Wait, famous? That's right. I posted about my brother's disappearance on my TikTok page and asked to see if anyone had any information. After a while, the area where my brother disappeared suddenly became very crowded. They ran to me and said, "Mia, we saw your post. Everyone is gathering to help you find your brother. Don't worry." Then everyone disappeared into the forest to search for him. After only 2 hours, Dan was found. His foot was stuck in a large layer of vines so he couldn't get out. Dan was still panicking when the rescuers brought him to me and Mom. The police said that nearly 1,000 people were involved in the search. Otherwise, it would take at least 8 hours to find Dan. We were so happy that we profusely thanked them one after another. After that day, I gave it some serious thought and decided to stop pulling careless pranks. To my surprise, my mom said, "With fame comes great responsibility. Use yours wisely, Mia." So I'm on the street again with my camera, but this time it's different. Hello, this is Mia. Welcome to the challenge of finding new owners for stray puppies. Let's go!
To this day, I still can't forget what they did to me. They turned me into their property. Nothing more, nothing less. Hi, I'm Maria, 15 years old. I'm currently living with my stepfather, Peter, who is 40 years old. My mom unfortunately passed away a few years ago from a serious illness, and he became my only guardian. Although he's a factory worker with a meager salary, Peter is a heavy gambler. He's ready to throw all his money into gambling. One day, he came back late and said, "I want to introduce you to my friend's son. He's a nice guy. He wanted to get to know you." I didn't think much of it and quickly forgot about it. The very next day, I received a call from a strange man. "Hi, I'm Dean. Mr. Peter talked a lot about you. Would you like us to get to know each other better?" After a few seconds of surprise, I remembered what my dad had said the other day about the man he wanted to introduce me to. I felt a bit weirded out, but casually greeted him back. I got nothing better to do anyways. In the days that followed, we kept in touch, had long conversations about everything in life, and gradually became closer. Although we had never seen each other's face, Dean's way of talking was gentle and polite. Dean and I had a lot in common. We both liked reading, pop music, and walking leisurely in the sunset. It felt like we had a connection. Since the day Dean came into my life, it had become so comfortable. Not only was I able to talk my heart out, Dean also promised to provide me with monthly pocket money to spend and pay my tuition. I was a bit hesitant and worried at first, but he reassured me, so I agreed. Honestly, my dad's monthly allowance wasn't even enough for me to buy a dress or hang out with friends. So being spoiled like that made me quite happy. He also regularly sent me expensive gifts. Despite many rejections, the gifts kept coming to me. It made my friends very jealous. They even wished they had a rich boyfriend like Dean. Chatting online was no longer enough. I had fallen in love with Dean and wanted to meet him in real life. All I knew about Dean was his sultry voice and the stories he told that he was a rich businessman and older than me. I was really curious about him. One day, my stepdad suddenly announced, "Get ready and put on some nice clothes. I'll take you to see Dean." Hearing that, I was extremely happy and nervous. Finally, my long-awaited dream was going to be fulfilled. I quickly went to get ready and kept wondering, what would Dean look like in real life? That night, a car was waiting at the door and took me and my dad straight to a luxury house. We were led into a closed room. Inside was an old man sitting on a chair. He looked much older than Peter. He looked more than 50 years old. Seeing me, he smiled and said hello. "Hello, Maria." That voice made me freeze. It was Dean's voice. The voice that I used to listen to every night. I was so shocked that the man I had a crush on, who spoke so sweetly to me every night, was an old man. I knew Dean was older than me, but it was unbelievable that he was that old. Before I could regain my composure, my stepdad suddenly bowed and walked out, leaving me alone in that empty room with Dean. I just stood there confused and panicking. And Dean kept looking at me and saying sweet, flirtatious words. But unlike before, those words started making me feel disgusted. "Come on, baby. Don't we get along so well? Are you glad to finally see me?" But I was really scared and didn't dare to approach him. I stepped back slowly. After a while, Dean gradually revealed his true nature. He got up from his chair, looked at me with lustful eyes, and rushed over to hug me.
Ew!
I screamed loudly, but to no avail. I had fallen into a trap that was set by Dean and my stepdad. Dean held me so tight that I couldn't move. This is it. My life ends here. Bitter tears fell on my cheeks. At that moment, the police rushed in. They arrested Dean and all of his accomplices. I was rescued in the nick of time. My stepdad was also arrested. It all happened so fast, and I didn't have time to understand what was happening. The police said that Peter was a criminal who was known for selling young girls for money to gamble. He had a huge debt, so he sold me to Dean to clear the debt. As for Dean, it turned out that he was not a businessman, as he said, but a loan shark who had a special interest in young girls. I was shocked to learn the truth. Dean was my stepdad's money lender, not a friend, as Peter said. The police have been tracking this criminal line for a long time, and now they finally caught them all. My dad and Dean went to jail for their crimes. I have also received a valuable lesson. I should be wary of sweet words and not to be too trusting. I've moved to another place to live, and I'm now studying hard to have a better life. Hope you guys like my story. Remember to subscribe to the channel to wait for the next good content.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.